Hi everyone, my name is Sean and I'm the Tech and Media Editor at Campaign Asia. Today I'm speaking to Dan Neary, the VP of APAC for Meta. Thank you for joining me on this podcast today, Dan. Before we start, can you please introduce yourself and your role at Meta?
Sure. So first off, delighted to be here. Thank you for having me, Sean. So I lead the work with businesses across Asia Pacific for Meta.
So AI seems to be the new buzzword these days. What impact has Meta's investment in AI had on its recent business performance?
Sure, yeah, indeed. AI is certainly getting a lot of coverage these days. It's really had a bit of that aha moment where I think so many people and businesses are truly understanding its potential. And it's going to be at the center of lots of innovation ahead. Now, at Meta, AI has been the foundation of our discovery engine and our ads business, and we also think it's going to enable lots of new products. And we're also really excited about generative AI and its potential, and that's another area that we're investing in. But let me first talk about our AI discovery engine. Now, Facebook and Instagram, they're shifting from being organized solely around people and accounts you follow to increasingly showing more relevant content recommended by our AI systems. And that covers every content format. And that's something that makes our services unique. But we are especially focused on short-form video since Reels is growing so rapidly. Now, we're really proud of the progress we've made here. In fact, if you look at plays of Reels across Facebook and Instagram, they have more than doubled over the last year, and the social component of people resharing Reels has grown even faster. It's more than doubled just in the last 6 months. And the number of people using Facebook, Instagram, and WhatsApp, it's the highest it's ever been. We now have over 3.7 billion people who are active across our family of apps on a monthly basis. That is getting close to nearly half the world's population.
You know, in terms of improving ad targeting and user engagement, what has AI done for Meta and its products?
Yeah, well, for many years, we've used AI and machine learning to show people the best content and show the right ads to the right people. Last year, we made a substantial investment in AI with the goal of helping advertisers get smarter and faster. And to do this, even in situations where there's limited access to granular data. And as a result, we're seeing significant improvements in ad performance. One example of this is our Advantage Plus Shopping Campaigns product. And for starters, it simplifies the process of setting up an ad campaign, reducing the number of decisions a marketer has to make from 11 down to 2. And instead of manually setting up campaigns to test a mix of targeting, creative, and placement, advertisers can now set up a single campaign to test over 100 different combinations and optimize for the highest performing ads. And that is having a material impact in helping businesses. Recent tests found that Advantage Plus shopping products drove an increase of 32% on return on advertising spend. And this is one of our fastest growing AI-powered products. In fact, it's recently crossed an annual run rate of $4 billion in December. But let me take this from the macro down to the micro. Meaning, let me give you an example of how that works for an individual business. I love the story of Nike. That's a family-run business in Brisbane, Australia, which uses recycled bottles to create lightweight and durable fabrics for outdoor gear. Pretty cool stuff. Now, Nike used our Advantage Plus shopping campaigns to generate more revenue during Black Friday and Cyber Monday. The business saw over a 4x return on ad spend. And Nike has been seeing really good success. They've been able to move into a new warehouse and hire more people, which is exactly the type of story that we love to hear.
Moving away from AI, you know, in terms of the company's user base in APAC, how has it changed over the last quarter?
Putting it simply, APAC is where the growth is happening. I mentioned earlier the size of our users, and APAC is the largest portion of this for Meta, home to over 40% of our global users. And when we look to the future for this region, this is where we think the next billion users are likely to come from. And not only is Asia large, diverse, and dynamic, it's also where a lot of the innovation is happening. I mean, look at business messaging. That was started here in Asia, and now click-to-messaging ads across Meta platform, it's at a $10 billion run rate. And it's also consumer behaviors, which is social, online, immersive, conversational. This is how APAC loves to shop. And all of this is only going to grow. I'm not sure if you've seen the latest eMarketer report, but nearly 60% of the worldwide social network users will be based in Asia Pacific in 2023, growing at just under 3% year over year. This means that this region will add more users than the rest of the world combined as it relates to social networks. That's huge.
Yeah, APEC is where the action is happening. Can you talk a little bit about the impact of competition from your competitors like TikTok, you know, the economic climate that we are seeing right now, as well as how has Apple's privacy changes affected Meta?
Sure, but that's really kind of a three-in-one question.
Yeah.
So let me take it point by point. You know, first, the competition. When you look at APAC, people have more options than ever before. And I think this kind of competition is actually good for the ecosystem. It drives innovation, which is better services, and it's better for people. Now, since Meta has started over 18 years ago, I'd also point out that, look, we have seen multiple shifts in the media types that people use. Whether or not that's the shift to mobile, whether or not it's the shift to stories, we have a long, successful track record of being able to adapt to people's evolving preferences. And we've spent, you know, more than a decade, frankly, building what we consider to be the most powerful discovery engine in history. And this is what generates connections with customers, demand for businesses, and interest in brands. And that's across feed, stories, reels, watch, marketplace, messaging, VR, creator content. People aren't just coming to our apps for one single thing. They're coming for all of it. And so while I think we are very humbled by the competitive landscape, I'm also confident that our apps will continue to be the best place for people and communities to connect and for advertisers to reach people where they want to get measurable outcomes long into the future. Now, to your second point, when it comes to the economic climate, you know what? Every downturn is unique in its own way. But the one thing that I think they all have in common, and that is they don't last forever. And what we've learned is, in terms of helping businesses not just survive but thrive during the pandemic, is that businesses that leverage technology effectively are most likely to gain an advantage. And we get up every day and help businesses with this. We help drive efficient growth. Now, lastly, on the privacy and ATT impact, you know, this is in many respects the reality of the online advertising environment that we operate in now. And we look at four ways that we're approaching this. You know, the first, we're working on tools that mitigate the impact of those changes. And we're seeing strong adoption of those tools, including things like Conversions API, which creates a direct connection between a business's marketing data and the Meta systems. That helps optimize ad targeting, decrease cost per action, and of course, measure results. Two, we have made substantial improvements in how our measurement and delivery systems handle situations where we have very limited access to granular data. And that means we are seeing ad performance improvements while still respecting privacy. Three, we are investing in products that grow on-site conversions. Take the products like lead ads, where you can now click to open up a messaging conversation. And four, for the long run, we continue to invest in our privacy-enhancing technologies that will fundamentally enable us to deliver better performance and privacy-safe ads to advertisers. We believe that these two can live side by side.
Let's move on to the metaverse, you know. Can you give us an update on the Reality Labs, your division that is tasked with the hardware and software for the metaverse? I tried Meta's Quest VR headsets before and I think it's great. So what's the update around there?
Yeah, pretty amazing things, aren't they? You know, look, I think we're very fortunate to have some of the brightest minds in the industry working on our Reality Labs teams, you know, building tools that help people feel connected even when they're apart. But they're also the teams that lead our work on avatars. And, you know, this is an area that we're making a lot of progress on right now. In fact, we just launched avatars on the WhatsApp last quarter, and more than 100 million people have already created avatars in the app. And about 1 in 5 of them are using their avatars as their WhatsApp profile photo. Now, I bring this up because it's an interesting example of how the family of apps and the metaverse visions come together, because the metaverse isn't just VR. Now, that said, we're also pleased with how VR is going. In Asia, our devices are available in Japan, Korea, Taiwan, Australia, New Zealand. And it's really exciting to see how people are connecting and playing on Quest in Asia. I'll give you one of my favorite examples that I think really shows the creativity and connection that VR can bring to all of us. Mr. Kenta Toshima, he's from the University of Tokyo, and he identified that 25% of all adults over 65 years of age are considered to be isolated and at risk of loneliness. And he built this VR experience that he's taken over 1,500 people on virtual trips around the world, bringing the community together and creating a moment where they can connect and engage with each other. I absolutely love this.
You know, we have heard a lot about Horizon World, your flagship metaverse offering. In your words, has it performed up to expectations? And, you know, what can we expect from it next?
Yeah, you know, Horizon Worlds is one of many foundational steps that we need to make for the metaverse to be a reality over the next 5 to 10 years. And, you know what, we're taking our time. We want to make sure that we get this right. Now, so far, we've rolled this out to people in the U.S. and some European countries. I think there's some really good examples of, you know, how people will build the next generation of social spaces together. And so far, we've seen some great worlds that have been built by the community and from brands as well. We've also marked, I think, some really significant milestones which are focused on important issues like safety. So, for example, we rolled out personal boundaries and safe zones button that lets you take a break from your surroundings, the ability to block and mute people, and the ability to report people and content. Now, we know it's important for people to feel safe and in control of their experience and surroundings, and we'll continue to invest in these products as we look to expand Horizon Worlds to more countries. Now, hey, thank you so much for all that we've talked about. I know we're coming to a little bit of time, so I want to wrap this up and give you kind of our focus for 2023. We want to make sure that we are continuing to help businesses of all sizes grow with performance improvements, especially during these challenging macro environment. We also want to create opportunities to drive growth and connect businesses with their customers on reels and business messaging. So lots of opportunities ahead of us for innovation, and I am super excited about helping businesses drive top-line growth.